The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. So as we've gone through Lent, we've heard stories of repentance and mercy. Last week, the hypothetical situation of the parable of the prodigal son, and we see a father who shows mercy. But this week, we deal with a very real person showing mercy from Jesus. Now, even as this reading begins, it's trying to evoke something in the Jewish people who would have read it. You see, in Ezekiel, God's presence leaves the temple. His glory leaves the temple because of the unfaithfulness of the Israelites. And it says that the presence goes over the Kebar River and continues to the east, which is over the Mount of Olives. So God's presence leaves the temple years before, hundreds of years before, through the east over the Mount of Olives. And now it's from the Mount of Olives that Jesus himself is coming back towards the west and enters from the mount over the river into his temple. And in returning to the temple, in God's returning to the temple, he teaches the people. And in the midst of his teaching, they bring before him, in the middle of the temple, a woman who is caught in the very act of adultery. And they ask him a question. The law of Moses says this woman needs to be stoned to death for what she's done. What say you? To stone her would be to leave that word of peace he was bringing. But to stone her would be, or to stone her would be leaving the way of peace he was bringing, but to show her mercy would be to reject the law of God and give them something to charge him against. And to punish him. They're trying to trap Jesus, and it appears to be a no-win situation. But this whole moment, this whole situation begs the question, what is the purpose of the temple? Those who bring the woman try to make it a court of law, a place of judgment, of condemnation, of death. Yet the temple was not set up to judge the people. Rather, the temple was set up for the people to come, to bring their sins, even place their sins upon the sacrifices of the temple, and for those to be sacrificed by the priests for the forgiveness of sins. That a lamb or a goat would die in their place. The temple was to be a place of mercy. God had left because of the legalism of the Israelites, because it no longer was the home of mercy. And now he has returned to restore just that. And even as we ask a question of what the temple is for, we have to ask a question of what the law was for. They bring this woman and use the law to bring her to humiliation and to try to humiliate and trap Jesus. The law was not given to us by God to humiliate each other, to punish each other, to attack each other. The law was given to us to humble ourselves. to be honest with ourselves. And in the midst of this crossfire, in the midst of this attack on this woman, and there is a woman sitting in the middle, a real and living, breathing woman. A woman with a past. Past mistakes, sins, regrets. But a woman with a future. A woman who is just a short time earlier being used by a man for pleasure. A man who's conveniently absent from this moment of judgment, for he too would be judged. A woman who's now being used by the religious leaders as a simple pawn in some game to condemn and trap Jesus. Perhaps a woman who most of her life was used to being used by others. And while they condemn and accuse and try to trap Jesus, it's Jesus who sees this woman, who sees a future hope for this woman. And he bends down on his knees into the dirt of the ground and he writes. He writes. The only time we have an account of Jesus actually writing. And it was in the beginning that God gets on his knees and forms out of the dirt of the ground man and breathes into him life. Breathes life into that which was lifeless. And it's now in this moment that Jesus again is getting down in the dirt and God himself is offering life. Now the person who was supposed to cast the first stone in this situation, according to Deuteronomy, was the witness. The one who saw the act was the one who was supposed to cast the first stone. And Jesus gets up and he addresses the people, those who had gathered, and he expands who would be eligible. He doesn't say the witness cast the first stone. He says, anyone here, cast the first stone if you are without sin. Yet the whole of Israel could not cast a stone, let alone the people gathered there. Because how many times did they play the adulterer in their relationship with God? How many times were they the unfaithful one, worthy of being stoned with the relationship with God? And time and again, God was merciful to them. And so Jesus offers that word, and then he gets back down and he starts writing once again in the dirt. And Augustine hypothesizes, he proposes that perhaps Jesus was writing the sins of those who had gathered there in the dirt. And it's possible, we don't know for sure, but it's possible that's even why the eldest were the first to leave. That they were the most honest and aware of their sins, of their unworthiness, even in the midst of the temple, to cast the first stone, to kill this woman. And so they start to leave. One by one, they begin to leave. Until there's no one left but Jesus and the woman. And so her day begins and ends the same. Her alone with a man. But now stands before her not a man who wishes to use her for self-gain. Not a man who wishes to abuse her or hurt her or objectify her. But a man who sees her. A man who loves her. A true man who will not do her any harm, but bring her healing and life. And he looks at this woman and he says, neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you. Perhaps the sweetest words in all the world. Augustine would put it this way. He said there were two things left, misery and mercy in that moment. The misery this woman held in the mercy of Jesus. There was misery and mercy. And I love the Latin phrase for it. Augustine says this, there was left miseria in misericordia. Misery and mercy have the same root. Miseria, misery. But misericordia is mercy that finds heart, or compassion that interacts with mercy. Or with misery. When compassion sees misery, it brings mercy. Jesus can't help but bring mercy because that is who he is. And so he brings mercy to this woman. And in doing so, he restores the temple to its purpose. A place of forgiveness, a place of mercy, a place of life. And this woman comes to know Jesus. to know him in a way that is beyond just knowing about him. We know so much about him, we can rattle off facts and we can rattle off stories and ideas of Jesus, but she came to know him in a way that you can't live the same afterwards. Because when you come to know Jesus, everything changes. This is what Paul was getting to when he says that when he came to know Jesus, everything else is lost. Everything else is rubbish. It's garbage. It's trash. It's to be thrown away. It's worthless. But to know Jesus is to let him know your mercy, to open to him your misery. To know Jesus is to let him into your misery. For when Paul speaks that all before is lost, he's talking about his accomplishments, his successes, his great deeds, but he's also talking about his sins and his failings, his persecution even of the church. All of it is rubbish. All of it is garbage. It's lost compared to the mercy of Christ. We are not people of the past. We are people of a future. You could say every saint has a past. Each and every one of us gathered here today has a past. A past fraught with pain and struggle and sin and neglect and hardship. Read Confessions by the Confessions of St. Augustine. He did everything. But every sinner has a future in Jesus Christ, in his mercy and in his life. And so Jesus sees this woman not chaining her to the events of her past, but offers a simple word and says, go. 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 Move forward. You are not condemned. You are not held prisoner in this place. Go. You have a future. You have a hope. You have life. Go. And from now on, do not sin anymore. This is not some cruel curse. Don't sin anymore or else. This is Jesus who, when Peter says, how many times must I forgive my brother? Seven? He says, no, 70 times seven. He says, keep on forgiving. The mercy does not run out. Even Paul admits he's not perfect yet. Paul, the saint who we would look up to and admire and say, I wish I could be like Paul. He himself says, I am not perfectly mature in my faith yet, but I strive towards, I look towards the future that is. The perfection that is promised me in Jesus Christ. So go and sin no more. Live out a new life. Be recreated, filled by the Spirit. No longer a slave, but loved, forgiven. There's a battle going on for each and every one of our hearts. We're aware of it. We're woefully aware of it. Against the accuser who would keep poking you and pushing you and bringing you down and beating you. But Jesus is fighting for us. Jesus never gives up fighting for us. Just as those who gathered to stone this woman, he stands before us to protect us from the assault of the evil one and to give us life. Whatever misery is in your life, whatever accusations he is hurling at you, bring them to the one who brings mercy. Not just in stories, not just in parables, but in life, in true life. To the point that Paul says, forget what lies behind, but striving to what lies ahead. Continuing to pursue the goal we have in Christ Jesus, the prize of eternal life that God promises to us. So go. You are not destroyed by the law. It humbles us. It forces us to look in on ourselves. It forces us to be honest with ourselves. But it does not destroy us. It brings us to the foot of the cross where God restores us by the mercy of Jesus. Even today, we come to the place where misery meets mercy. And he transforms the misery into his love and forgiveness. So let us just take a moment of prayer to offer up to God what misery we bring to this place today. To ask us through this gift of the Eucharist, he would give us his mercy in its stead.